One man with a bald head and crooked glasses addressed an audience of constitutionalists. What happened next will shock you. I was watching an interview between a libertarian blogger named Moldbug and Fox News' Tucker Carlson. Moldbug described the decentralized nature of our political system in an interesting way.
Oligarchic power structure of America, which is completely decentralized. There is no center to it anywhere. There is no like they, there's no one you can point to. There's no race or class or little meeting of like protocols of elders of Zion that's happening.
Right.
There's no conspiracy. It's completely decentralized. That's what makes it so hard to kill.
Moldbug's description of how decentralized power was nowhere and everywhere reminded me of that famous expression by the philosopher Pascal, who describes God as a sphere, whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. The Argentine writer Jorge Luis Borges noticed in his essay Pascal's Sphere that this conception of God was thought of by previous thinkers as well. He traces the same thought to medieval mystic Giordano Bruno, and then to French theologian Alain Delille, who wrote, "God is an intelligible sphere, whose center is everywhere, and whose circumference is nowhere." Several other thinkers in antiquity came up with this conception in parallel fashion, like Xenophanes of Colophon. Prior to him, Parmenides had the same conception. What's of interest with Moldbug talking to Tucker is that he uses these same terms when discussing government, as if in some strange way he subliminally thinks of government in terms of a god. Perhaps this is normal for someone of his demographic and generation. John Stuart Mill, in Considerations of Representative Government, talks about how normal people approach government as if it's not arbitrary laws written by men, and instead act as if these are laws of nature. They see government much as an animal who sees a building and assumes that it sprouted from the ground like a tree. Mill writes, "To these stand opposed another kind of political reasoners, who are so far from assimilating a form of government to a machine, that they regard it as a sort of spontaneous product, and the science of government as a branch, so to speak, of natural history. According to them, forms of government are not a matter of choice. We must take them in the main as we find them. Governments cannot be constructed by premeditated design. They are not made, but grow. Our business with them, as with other facts of the universe, is to acquaint ourselves with their natural properties and adapt ourselves to them." These people assume that government is a form of nature, that its powers are those of a god. Well, how did people start to confuse government for God? In the Anglosphere, it happened when Henry VIII kicked the Catholic Church out of England. He wanted a divorce, and the Catholic Church wouldn't let him. The problem was, it was the church who helped the poor through charity. When Henry banned the monasteries, he had to pick up the slack by having the government step in. For the first time, it was the state that engaged in charity and fed and housed the poor. It was only natural for the people to start confusing the government for the church, for mistaking cynical politicians for altruistic philanthropists. Because of this modern habit to try and fill up the psychological gap once occupied by the church, you start to see people apply social prejudices that were once only reserved for the clergy to politicians, celebutards, or even pharmaceutical companies. They assume that these people are selfless angels who took a vow of poverty. Hint, they didn't. They profiteer and abuse this misplaced faith by preying on the gullible, whose need for a vanished church is such that they will apply these same feelings to anyone, like doctors. Swiss historian Jakob Burckhardt wrote in the 19th century, "Priestly power may, it is true, have other sources and causes in this world, such as the power of ritual to compel the gods, theurgy, trial by ordeal, for the discovery of crime, and finally, the association of the priesthood with medicine, arising in part from the closer relations of the priests with the gods, in part from priestly science, and in part from the idea that sickness is a punishment for sins committed, even in a former life, or the work of demons with which the priest can deal." Of course, doctors are not priests, nor do they draw on otherworldly powers. In fact, their actual attainments can be quite modest. As the Talmud says, God heals, and the doctor takes the money. Or as Dr. Robert O. Becker admits, the big hero is one's immune system, not the physician.
One of the things as a physician you learn very early on is that you really don't heal anybody. Every patient heals themselves. You just help them to heal.
Just a fair reminder for those who assume that doctors are infallible. Medical malfeasance is the third leading cause of death in America. When doctors go on strike, the death rate actually drops by 35%. In 1976 in Los Angeles County, a similar doctor's strike resulted in an 18% drop in mortality. As soon as the strike was over, the death rate went back to normal. A 50% decrease in mortality occurred in Israel in 1973, when there was a one-month doctor strike. The point here is not to sublimate and flail in the void left by the church and repose those feelings in doctors or politicians or secular structures. The politicians and pharmaceutical companies, of course, like the people have a tendency to do this. They're the beneficiaries of a delusion. They like the fact that while they rob you, you see them as wearing a halo. Just bear in mind that that halo is best looked upon as a circle, a symbol, a reminder of a god who is like a sphere, whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Our freedoms are under attack, and yet the loss of freedom is not inevitable. America can be saved, and an informed citizenry can and will make the difference. Join us weekly for episodes of Beyond the Cover, and check out our print magazine too at thenewamerican.com. We'll be right back.